At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something pretty specific in the metabolic health world.
Sure.
This compound, 5-amino-1-MQ.
Yeah, it's definitely generating some buzz. We've got some interesting preclinical stuff to sift through, right?
Exactly. Preclinical data, what some experts might be thinking. Our mission today is basically to unpack what we know, what we don't know, and, you know, where things might be heading.
Sounds good. It's all about potentially tweaking metabolism, maybe finding a new angle.
Okay, so let's dive right in. What actually is 5-amino-1-MQ? Can you break that down?
Sure. So fundamentally, it's what we call a small molecule. And the main interest is how it influences our metabolic processes.
And it has a specific target, doesn't it? This NNMT thing.
Exactly, NNMT. That stands for nicotinamide N-methyltransferase. It's an enzyme.
Okay, an enzyme. And what does it do?
Its main job is processing nicotinamide, which, you know, is just a form of vitamin B3.
Right, B3.
But here's the crucial part. If you have really high NNMT activity, that can actually lead to lower levels of NAD plus R.
NAD plus I. Okay. We hear that term thrown around all the time. Longevity, energy. Why is it so vital?
It really is fundamental. NAD plus is essential for our cells to produce energy. Simple as that.
Yep.
Plus, it's involved in repairing DNA, and it plays a pretty big role in pathways linked to aging, you know, how well we age.
And there's a downside to too much NNMT activity beyond just lowering NAD plus fat.
Yeah, some research links higher NNMT levels with things like increased fat storage and, well, general metabolic dysfunction. Not ideal.
Right, definitely not. So if high NNMT is potentially problematic, how does 5-amino-1-MQ fit into this whole picture?
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. 5-amino-1-MQ acts as an NNMT inhibitor.
Inhibitor meaning it blocks it or slows it
down. Yeah, it puts the brakes on it. It reduces the enzyme's activity.
The hypothesis is?
The hypothesis is that by slowing down NNMT, 5-amino-1-MQ allows the NAD plus levels inside our cells to, well, hopefully increase or at least stay higher than they would be otherwise.
So less NNMT activity equals potentially more NAD plus P or PISTR.
That's the theory.
And the knock-on effect of boosting NAD plus this way might be shifting our metabolism, making it run better.
Precisely. Shifting it towards, let's say, a more favorable profile. And the preclinical data we have so far is, well, pretty compelling on this front.
Okay, preclinical. So we're talking cell studies, animal models?
Exactly. Mostly in vitro, that's the lab dish stuff, and animal studies, mainly mice.
And what's the key finding from those?
A really consistent finding is that it does seem to raise NAD plus levels. They've seen this happen in cell cultures and in mice by inhibiting NNMT, just like the theory predicts.
Okay, so it seems to work mechanistically, at least in these models.
Right. Researchers have documented, you know, significant increases in NAD plus concentration.
And did that NAD plus boost translate into actual metabolic benefits in the mice? What did they observe?
Yeah, this is where it gets particularly interesting. In obese mice studies, they saw a range of positive effects when treated with 5-amino-1-MQ.
Like what?
Things like reduced overall fat mass, also improvements in glucose tolerance, how well they handle blood sugar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And better insulin sensitivity as well. It suggests it might be hitting a more fundamental regulatory pathway, not just one symptom.
That's a pretty significant set of improvements for metabolic health, even in mice.
It really is. And there's more. Some studies also noted less fat building up in the liver.
Fatty liver is a big issue.
Huge. And also improvements in their lipid profiles, think cholesterol, triglycerides, that sort of thing.
Mm. And the thinking is this all ties back to the NAD plus increase.
That's the prevailing thought, yeah, that these benefits are closely linked to the higher NAD plus levels, which then activates other important players, specifically sirtuins.
Sirtuins, right. The longevity genes or proteins that need NAD plus to function. We hear about those a lot too.
Exactly. Sirtuins use NAD plus as fuel, basically a cofactor. So boost NAD plus era, and you potentially ramp up sirtuin activity, which impacts metabolism and aging pathways.
Makes sense.
Now, I should also mention there are some very, very early stage lab findings hinting at potential anti-inflammatory effects, too.
And maybe even influencing cancer cell metabolism. But I really have to stress.
Very early stage, like really preliminary.
Extremely preliminary. We're talking initial observations in petri dishes, essentially.
Got it.
There's a ton more research needed before we can say anything meaningful about those aspects in a living system, let alone humans.
Right. So The main story for now is the metabolic effects in animals, driven by NAD+ via NNMT inhibition.
Precisely. The vast majority of solid data is preclinical. What it does in humans, well, that's still largely uncharted territory.
Which naturally leads us to the big question.
Mm-hmm.
What about side effects? If this is potentially powerful, are there downsides?
Yeah, that's obviously critical. And the honest answer is, because we lack large-scale human clinical trial data, our understanding of side effects in people is, well, it's limited.
So what do we know? Mostly from the animal studies again.
Primarily, yes. And in those animal studies, generally speaking, it seemed to be well tolerated.
There's always a but, right?
The but is that these were specific doses tested in animals. Animal physiology isn't human physiology.
True.
So we don't really know about long-term effects in humans, what happens at different doses over time. It's just unknown right now.
Okay, so based on how it works, messing with this NNMT enzyme, impacting NAD+ and nicotinamide, can we speculate about potential human side effects? Are there theoretical concerns?
Theoretically, sure. Anytime you inhibit an enzyme involved in such fundamental pathways, you know, nicotinamide metabolism, NAD plus balance, there's a potential for unintended consequences. Maybe alterations you don't want.
Right, like knocking over a domino you didn't expect.
Kind of. But again, and this is super important for listeners to grasp, any talk about specific human side effects now is purely speculative. It's based on the pharmacology, the drug's mechanism, not on actual human data.
So extreme caution needed outside of a proper research setting.
Absolutely paramount. Promising animal data is exciting, yes, but human safety and efficacy require rigorous human trials, period.
Couldn't agree more. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Has this compound, 5-amino-1-MQ, started popping up in conversations with some of the big names in health and wellness? Thinking, you know, Andrew Huberman, Joe Rogan, maybe Dr. Craig Conover?
Right, let's look at that. Andrew Huberman first. His podcast, obviously huge, covers metabolism, NAD plus biology, longevity interventions, all that jazz.
Yeah, seems right up his alley.
It does, theoretically. Given that 5-amino-1-MQ hits NAD plus via NNMT, it's certainly the type of thing he might discuss as an emerging metabolic modulator.
But has he? Have you heard him talk much about it?
You know, it's interesting. As of now, say mid-2025, it really hasn't been a major focus on his show. Not like, say, NR or NMN, which he's discussed more extensively.
Okay.
If he were to cover it, I'd bet he'd focus heavily on the preclinical stuff, explain the NNMT logic carefully.
And probably hammer home the need for human trials.
Absolutely. He'd stress the need for human efficacy and safety data and definitely caution against jumping from mouse results straight to human conclusions. That's his usual evidence-based style.
Makes sense. Okay, what about Joe Rogan? His show's a massive platform, covers everything, including biohacking.
True. Rogan's reach is enormous, and he does dive into novel compounds sometimes with his guests.
So has 5-amino-1-NQ made an appearance there?
It doesn't seem like it's been a frequent topic, no. His discussions tend to gravitate towards things with maybe a bit more human data already, or at least significant anecdotal buzz in the biohacking community.
So maybe it's just not quite on that radar yet.
Seems that way. It's possible it could come up, you know, in a wider chat about boosting NAD plus or optimizing metabolism, but it doesn't seem to be a standalone focus for him right now.
Okay. And Dr. Craig Conover, he's known more for peptide therapies, maybe being a bit more on the cutting edge with newer compounds.
Yes, Conover is definitely someone you could imagine discussing it. His focus on optimizing physiology, exploring novel stuff, 5-amino-1-MQ fits that profile, given the potential metabolic angle.
So is it likely he has talked about it?
It's conceivable. If he has, I'd expect him to really dig into the NNMT inhibition mechanism, point to the preclinical metabolic evidence, and discuss what it might mean for human health.
But probably still with a dose of caution.
Oh, I would think so. Even with his forward-looking approach, he'd almost certainly highlight that human research is early days and that people need to proceed carefully.
Right. So it sounds like while there's scientific interest, it hasn't quite broken through into mainstream health podcast discussions yet, with Conover as a maybe.
This seems like a fair summary. Yeah.
Okay. So let's try and pull this all together then. Our deep dive shows 5-amino-1-MQ is an NNMT inhibitor.
Right. Which in preclinical studies, cells and animals leads to higher NAD plus levels.
And in those animal models, we saw some pretty intriguing potential benefits. Obesity, metabolic function.
Yeah, the reduced fat mass, better glucose handling, improved insulin sensitivity, less liver fat, better lipids. It's an encouraging list from those studies.
But, and this is the big, we keep coming back to, the human research is really just starting.
Exactly. We're very thin on human side effect data, and we just don't know about long-term effectiveness in people yet.
It's not there. So while it's definitely getting attention in, you know, scientific circles, maybe some biohacking forums,
it hasn't hit the prime time on the big health podcasts like Huberman or Rogan. Conover, perhaps, but not widely discussed yet.
And the main message for you, the listener, really has to be, well, caution, right? Cautious optimism, maybe.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
We need solid, robust human clinical trials. That's the bottom line before anyone can make strong claims about using it.
Absolutely. Rely on the science as it develops, not just the early animal stuff or anecdotes.
Agreed. It's an exciting research avenue, no doubt, but decisions need to be based on data, not just hope or extrapolation.
So as we wrap up today's deep dive, here's something for you to think about. Given this promising but very early research, what do you believe are the absolute most critical questions that future human trials on 5-amino-1-MQ need to answer, especially regarding its long-term effects on our metabolic health? Definitely some food for thought there. Thanks for joining us.